Amen. As the choir is making the way down, if you're in children's church or like to go to children's church, they're maybe just be dismissed at this time. Amen. What a tremendous song, choir. And something that we desperately need today is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. And if you are able, if you would please stand as we read the Word of God together. Matthew 22. Here in this chapter, the Lord Jesus has been absolutely bombarded with questions from the Pharisees, and the religious leaders of that day have gathered around the Savior and asked Him questions in relation, number one, to politics. And verse 17, it just simply tells us there, "Tell us therefore," the Pharisees asked, "what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" So they asked Him questions about politics. They asked Him questions about the family in verses number 28. Then they ask Him questions about religion in verses 35 through 36. And now the Lord Jesus turns the tables on the Pharisees and He asks them a question. Let's see what the Lord asks these Pharisees in verse number 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dared any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. I want to speak to you this morning, both title and text, "What think ye of Christ?" What do you think of Christ? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray your blessings upon the word. I pray, Lord, that we would hear what the Spirit would say unto the church this morning. We'll give you the praise and glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What think ye of Christ? What a question the Lord Jesus Christ asked these Pharisees. Whose son is he? He says. You know, upon the answer to that question, the whole of eternity, of our eternity, depends. In the Lord Jesus Christ, deity and humanity met and they merged. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God stepped down off His throne and entered into the arena of human affairs to deal forever with the age-old problem of iniquity and sin. And He says to the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ?" Let me just tell you, by way of introduction, this is a very unequivocal question. It is a very crystal clear question. What think ye of Christ? You see, the Lord Jesus did not say to the Pharisees, "What do you say about Christ?" He didn't say that. Because a person can say many things, many good things about Christ, and still not be a Christian. And we know that speech is the external thing, but the thoughts of the heart are internal. And Jesus said, "What think ye of Christ?" Hey, listen, beloved, this is an unequivocal question, but it's also a very personal question. Amen? A very personal question. Jesus asked. Listen, when we pass through the pages of the New Testament, we find several responses to this question. hey, listen, if somehow, somewhere we can ask Caiaphas, the high priest, what do you think about Christ? What's your opinion of Jesus? I think Jesus Christ, Caiaphas would say Jesus Christ is a blasphemer because of what he said. In Matthew chapter 26 and 64, Caiaphas the high priest called Jesus a blasphemer. If somehow, some way we could ask Pilate, Pilate, you're the Roman governor of Judea. What do you think about Jesus Christ? And Pilate would say, as he said concerning the Lord Jesus, I find no fault in him. And then Judas, you walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. You sold out the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Have you any serious charge to hurl upon or against the Son of God? Judas would tell you, as he said in Matthew 27 and verse 4, no, rather I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And yet, although right, listen, in what they said, both Pilate and Judas, listen, they both rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. But yet both of them rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, what about you? You walked with your master for over 3 years. What do you think of Christ? Well, Peter said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, he said this, oh, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. My dear friend, this is a personal question. It is a personal question. Your wife cannot answer this question for you, sir. And ma'am, listen, your husband cannot answer this question for you. Your son or your daughter cannot answer this question. Your mom or dad cannot answer this question. This is a personal question. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? It is an unequivocal question. It is a personal question. But let me just tell you also, by way of introduction, this is a crucial question. It is a crucial question. The question is of supreme importance. Because what we think of Christ will determine what we do with Christ. And what we do with Christ will determine what Christ will do with us. Now get that in your head. Because the question is not this morning, what do you think of the church? The question this morning is not, what do you think of baptism? The question this morning is not, what do you think about the preacher, or what do you think about the service? But the question has all to do with Christ. It is a crucial question. Why? Because your eternal destiny hangs upon it. You listen, somebody said, you think well of Christ? And trust Him, repent of your sin, and trust Him in faith, and heaven awaits you. But if you despise Christ, and you reject His gift of salvation, my dear friend, hell beneath will open for you. What think ye of Christ? What is your view of the Messiah? What do you think of Christ's matchless person? What do you think about the deity of Christ, the divinity of Christ? You see, when it comes to opinions about Jesus Christ, the world has never lacked ideas. According to the Talmud, the primary source of Jewish religious law, the Jewish leader said Jesus practiced magic and led Israel astray. Do you recall what the Jewish leader said about Christ in Christ's day? And that he performed miracles by the power of the devil himself. They said that in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. You see, even many who don't believe in Jesus Christ have stated that He was the best of men. Christ says to us what He said to the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? And of course they answered, the Son of David. That's what they said. Now their answer was right in so far as it went, because He was of the lineage, He was the Son of David. But then the Savior poses a very troubling question. Notice the question in verses 43 and 44. After they said the Son of David, He said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call Him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now the Greek word for the Lord here is a common word in the New Testament and is most often used in to describing the deity of Christ. And you see, the problem that confronted the religious leaders was this. How could Christ be both David's son and David's Lord? How could the Messiah be both the son and the Lord of David? And so, of course, the answer that the Pharisees were not willing to concede was that as God, Messiah is David's Lord. And as man, he is David's son. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16 that he is the root and offspring of David. He is David's Lord and he is David's son. And so listen, this tells us something about the deity of Jesus Christ. King David was writing under the divine inspiration when he called the Messiah Lord. And that's why the Lord Jesus quoted from Psalm 110 and verse 1 to affirm the deity of the Messiah. See, verse 43 is an exact, or verse 44 is an exact quote of Psalm 110 and verse 1. The intent of this passage was to declare to the Pharisees and to the world that the Messiah, Jesus Christ Himself, was God in the flesh. And declared as such by King David himself. Hey, listen, we sing that chorus sometimes. He is Lord. He is Lord. Hey, listen, beloved, we sing that because He was and is and will forever be Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, what do you think about Christ? Do you recognize Him to be God? You see, listen, Christ's deity is attacked more than any other Christian doctrine. The Jehovah Witnesses, they stoutly deny His deity. They deny His deity. They say that Jesus was not God the Son. And they regard Christ as a created being. And they tell us that Jesus was Michael the Archangel who became a man. What about Mormonism? They tell us that God had sexual relations with Mary to make the body of Jesus. What about Islam? Well, they say that Christ was one of God's prophets, but not God's only son. And need I go on? Listen, people deny the deity of Christ and tell us that He was a man, nothing more than that. But tell me, listen to me this morning, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Whose son is He? Can you say with Peter that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Is your testimony that of Thomas when Thomas said, my Lord and my God? Oh, listen, beloved. This teaches us something about the deity of Christ, but also teaches us something about the humanity of Christ. Did He Himself not say, Jesus say in Revelation 22 and verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Jesus Christ, listen, is David's Lord and David's son at the same time. Now that's hard for us to comprehend this morning, I know. But the reality of His humanity is absolutely seen in the gospel. The Lord Jesus was hungry. The Lord Jesus grew weary. The Lord Jesus felt pain. He knew something about temptation. He knew something about death. One writer said this, if He had not been God, He could not have saved us. And if He had not been man, He could not have sympathized with us. But listen, He was God. And He is God, and He was man, and He is man, perfectly human, yet absolutely divine. Now the question is this morning, what do you think of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What do you think of the person of Christ? For this is where we must start. Do you recognize Him to be perfect God and perfect man? Hey, listen, call the role of the world's workers and ask them the question, what think ye of Christ? And do you hear their answers this morning? Oh, listen, to the artist, He is the altogether lovely one. To the architect, He is the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, He is the bright morning star. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the marvelous teacher. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the lawyer, he is our advocate. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. And to the student, he is the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he is our author and the finisher of our faith. To the sinner, hey, listen, praise God. He's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Hey, listen, the question this morning is, what think ye of Christ? Listen, do you ever think of Him at all? Do you ever think of Him at all? Does His name ever invade your mind? Does His love ever touch your soul? What think ye of Christ? We saw Christ matchless person as it speaks of His deity. But then notice, secondly, Christ fearless preaching. Christ fearless preaching. Now think of this. Think of this morning. It was never necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ ever to withdraw one single word. Now think about that. Everything Christ said was perfect. You recall what His enemy said on one occasion. His enemy said, never a man spoke like this man. Never a man spake like this man. You see, if we acknowledge the Lord Jesus to be perfect God and perfect man, then we will accept without reservation the truths that He proclaimed. Oh, somebody might say, well, what did Jesus Christ preach about? Hey, listen, beloved, it's very interesting that in His ministry, the Lord Jesus spoke about, number one, our nature. He spoke about our nature. And Matthew or Mark chapter 7. Listen what Jesus said about us. Out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Hey, listen, that is not a pretty picture at all, is it? Not at all this morning. And let me just tell you this morning, Christ is not speaking here of the convict. He is not speaking here of the prisoner in the state prison. No, He is speaking of the human heart generally. Hey, listen, can you identify with this morning? Do you realize this morning that you are a sinner? You are a sinner by birth. You are a sinner by nature. And you are a sinner by choice. And do you see clearly that you have a bias to sin? I heard a little girl that came home from Sunday school one day and she asked her mama a question. She said, Mom, why is there something inside of me that just likes to be naughty? Amen. Hey, listen, the answer to that question is that we have inherited Adam's sinful nature. We inherited Adam's sinful nature. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who's that one man? Adam. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, we all are born sinners. And we're sinners by nature and by choice. Hey, listen, do you know what sin is? We don't hear a whole lot of preaching on sin today. We don't hear a whole lot of preachers calling folks that are lost sinners today either. But listen, you know what sin is? The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. That's what the Scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. But the word transgression means rebellion. It means rebellion. For in defying the law of God, we are rebels. The word sin means this. It means missing the mark. Hey, listen, this is what sin is. And you know, when we think about our depraved condition before God, let me just say something. We are depraved. There's nothing in us or about us that can reach up to God until He reaches down to us. Understand that. But so many times when we think about our depraved condition before God, the tendency is to compare yourself with somebody else. And you'll say, well, listen, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. There may be somebody here this morning who is comparing themselves to somebody in this church this morning and say, well, you know, I may not be all that, but I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as that deacon over there. I'm not as bad. Listen, here's the problem. God's standard of comparison is not with other sinners. Amen? That is not God's standard of comparison. God's standard of comparison is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is absolutely sinless. And when you place your life against the Lord Jesus Christ, you discover that you are a sinner, and listen, that you've missed the mark, and you have fallen short of the glory of God, which is Jesus Christ. When you see yourself as what you truly are, a sinner undone, and you see yourself in the light of how God sees you by the perfect Son of God, listen, when you see that for yourself, listen, even on your best day, sir, even on your best day, ma'am, you're still a sinner undone, lost and headed for a sinner's hell. And the question is, do you accept what the Lord Jesus said about your nature? You see, this is not my words. It's Jesus' words. I'm just the messenger boy. And he said, your nature is absolutely depraved. But then notice also, not only our nature, but notice the need. Notice the need. Our nature is sinful, so our need is supernatural. Our nature is depraved, and so our need is of deliverance. Our nature is noticeably bad, and our need is new birth. You see, because of sin, we are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And the only answer to spiritual death is spiritual life. And the only way to have spiritual life is through and by a spiritual birth. That's why the Lord Jesus said, ye must be born again. Physical birth, yes, brings physical life. But spiritual birth brings spiritual life. And the Lord Jesus was speaking about the act of God in which new life is imparted to a person who trusts Christ as his Savior. He says, you must be born again. Hey, let me ask you a question this morning. Have you been born again? Have you been born from above? Has God imparted His new life to you? Are you a new creation in Jesus Christ? And so Jesus talks about our nature. Oh, it's a depraved nature. He talks about our need, and we need divine deliverance from the Lord Jesus. But then also He talks about our nearness. He talks about our nearness. Nearness to what? Our nearness to eternity. Our nearness to eternity. Do you recall the Lord Jesus Christ's words to the rich farmer? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, He said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hey, listen, do you recognize this morning that as David said, there is but a step between me and death. You know what David meant by that? He's just one breath away from eternity. Just one heartbeat away from eternity. There's nothing but a step between me and death. And then there is eternity. You know, the Lord Jesus did not leave folks to grapple around in the midst of uncertainty, did He? But rather, He pulled the curtain aside and let them see what lay beyond the veil. And for the Christian, for those of us that have been born again and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He said, hey, for you, in John chapter 14, and verses 1, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. Listen, He is telling us that those who have been saved, there's a heaven awaiting you. Amen. I'm so thankful. Listen, if you're here this morning, you know that you've been born again. You know that you're saved. There's a mansion in heaven waiting you. There's a name on your bell box. Amen. In heaven. But listen, Christ not only spoke about heaven, but Christ also spoke about hell. Matter of fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven. He spoke about the danger of hellfire. And He cried to the Pharisees, He said, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And beloved, listen, it was a Savior who spoke about the place where there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hey, listen, sinner friend, listen, if you're here this morning and you're lost and you've never been saved, listen, do you realize that you are a day near hell than you've ever been before? Hey, listen, there's hell's an awful place. Hell is not a place where your friends are going to hang out and have a big party. Hell's real. Jesus spoke about the reality of hell. Christ is a preacher. He speaks about our nature. He speaks about our need. He speaks about the nearness. And He says, before are two ways, one broad and one narrow. There's two gates, one wide and one straight. There's two destinations, hell and heaven. Which way are you on? Which gate are you going to go through? Which place are you heading to? It all depends on one thing. What's that? What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? So we saw Christ's matchless person. We saw Christ in His preaching. But then notice thirdly, Christ's selfless passion. Christ's selfless passion. You ever thought about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, this one who was perfect God and perfect man died, and His death was unique, and it was utterly, utterly selfless. Normally, people are remembered by something they accomplished by their living. When you think about George Washington, the first thing that comes to your mind is something that he did while he was living. He was the first president of the United States. We think about Thomas Edison, you think about something that he invented while he was living, and that was the incandescent light bulb. When you think about Neil Armstrong, you think about something he did while he was living, and that was the first person to walk on the moon. Most folks are remembered because of something they did while they are living, but according to the Bible, the most significant thing the Lord Jesus Christ ever did is that He died. He died. What think you of Christ? What do you think of Christ? What do you think about His passion? You see, notice Christ chose to die. Christ chose to die. His death was absolutely voluntary. As a matter of fact, did you know that the death of Christ is the only voluntary death in the history of the world? Now, somebody might try to argue that with me and say, well, what about the people that die rescuing people? What about the soldier who dies on the battlefield? What about those who commit suicide? But the fact of the matter is, none of these people choose to die. Some of these people may choose to die sooner than later. Suicides may choose the day and the time and the method of their death, but no one chooses whether they're going to die or not, because the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. As someone has said, all the world is a hospital, and every person in it is a terminal patient. My dear friend, the only person who voluntarily chose to die, who did not have to die, was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He said in John 10, verse 18, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and have the power to take it up again. Hey, listen, do you know something? You do not have that power. You do not have that power. The Bible says there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. You know what that means? That means when it is time for you to die, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to have to give up the ghost whether you want to or not. But as the Prince of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ was completely in charge of His life and death, thus laying down His life as a voluntary sacrifice, He bowed His head, and the Bible says He gave up the ghost. Christ chose to die, but notice also Christ chose to die for sinners. Amen. Christ chose to die for sinners. His death was vicarious. That is, Christ died in our stead or in our place. As Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Christ also suffered for us. Or Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You see, if death results from sin, and Christ never sinned, the only explanation for His death is this. He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. Hey, listen. Can you see the Lord Jesus this morning? Hanging on the cross, dying in your place, dying in your stead. Soon His tongue cleaves the roof of His mouth. Soon the agonies of God are upon Him. Soon the blanket of darkness surrounds Him, and from the darkness there is a cry. What is the cry? He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? At that moment, the Lord Jesus became sin for us. And God the Father had to turn away. Christ chose to die for sinners. Hey, listen. What think ye of Christ? What's your opinion of Christ? What do you think about the wounds of Christ? What do you think about the blood of Christ? Is it precious to you? What do you think about the cross of Christ? Can you sing, as the old hymn says, at the cross where I first saw the light, where the burden of my heart rolled away? It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Can you say this morning, yes, that was for me? That was for me? What think ye of Christ? His death was voluntary. His death was vicarious. He died in our place. But let me tell you something else about the death of Christ. His death was victorious. Amen? His death was victorious. Where are the great religious leaders of the world tonight? They lived, they died, and they're dead today. You can go visit the grave of Muhammad. You can go visit the grave of Buddha. But Christ rose bodily from the dead, and He is alive forevermore. And beloved, listen, the resurrection was God's indication that He was fully satisfied with the work of His Son. And the Bible tells us in Romans 4:25, and from the dead He arose. Yes, He died, but He didn't stay dead. He is our victor this morning. Now tell me again, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about the resurrection of Christ? What do you think about the ascension of Christ? And what do you think about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, listen. As I said earlier, this is an unequivocal question. Very clear. Very to the point. It's a very personal question. You've got to make that choice. And it's a very crucial question. Because why? Your eternal destiny hangs upon what you think of Christ. The question this morning I'm asking you is this. It's not, have you been baptized? I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm asking you, as Jesus asked, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Are you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save sinners. Have you been saved? You say, Brother Wade, I know that I've never been saved. Well, praise God that the Holy Spirit's allowing you to see for yourself your sinful condition. He's allowing you to see what you are compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, are you going to respond to grace? Are you going to respond this morning to God's call upon your life to be forever saved? Oh, I pray. What a question the Lord Jesus asked. the greatest teacher, the greatest preacher. What think ye of Christ? Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, thank you for such a powerful question. And Father, I pray for the person here that's never been saved. And God, they may have absolutely be wrapped and clothed in religious apparel, but Lord, they never have had a relationship with you. God, I pray that you would be the discerner of the heart. And Father, I pray that those whom the Holy Spirit is drawing, Father, I pray that you give courage to them to come this morning and to come talk with me. Father, I pray that you would draw many to your Son Jesus this morning. I pray for the Christian here. Father, I pray that we would be more zealous to pray and more zealous to speak your word to those that are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What number? 488. 488. Whatever decision the Lord leads you, you just obey Him at this time as we stand and sing. 488. Every head bowed and every eye closed as Miss Gloria and Miss Doris continue to play. And as there's those that's praying here at the altar, it's still time for you to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to you. And if you need any counsel or any prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you and counsel with you. Comes, we'll close this remainder of this service, but there's still time for you to respond. You may be seated just for a moment. I'm going to read to you a few announcements. January the 26th from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 5. There will be a reception for the Marcy and Dylan house that's been being raised as we speak. And the reception is called Blessings of the Beams Reception. And that is those, if you have donated toward the building of this home, you have the opportunity to write and sign on a little board. It's called a little plank. And you can put your name on that, and then that plank will be nailed to the walls of that home. And so that'd be a tremendous thing for you as you have given over the last few months to forever have your name on inside the home, on the walls of the home. Also, Sanctity of Life Sunday is January the 19th, and along with baby dedication, if you are here and like to have your baby dedicated, just please see me or Georgia. And also, if you'd like to have pictures, if you want those pictures shown, please drop them off at the office. Just need to let you know also the contribution statements are on the table there in the foyer, and for you to pick up. Also, Joseph Habedank will be here next Sunday, the 19th, on the next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Joseph was a lead singer for the Perrys for many, many years. He is a tremendous vocalist, tremendous songwriter, and we just got this nailed down the other day, so it's pretty new to us. But he is a tremendous young songwriter, gospel writer, and singer. So please be here for that. That's next Sunday night. Deacons meeting will meet today at 4 o'clock. Also, deacons' wives, those of you that can and are able, please meet at 4 o'clock as well. And the deacons' wife will be having a prayer time during that time while we meet. Prayer group potluck is Tuesday night, January 14th at 6:30. So please be a part of that. Tremendous part of our ministry is the prayer ministry that we have. And please be a part of that prayer group potluck. This is Tuesday at 6:30. Anything else before we're dismissed? Yes.
I would ask that we pray for these children.
Yes.
I mean, there's been like 5 in just 1 week, within a couple of days. And it just breaks my heart that my children can't express their love for the Lord, but these other families of children can come into our school and tell us about the devil. And
right.
I have a burden on my heart for these children.
Amen. Let's pray. Pray for our students, and not only in our community, but all across our nation as we continue to go downward morally and away from the Lord. I want to break our heart. Any other word before we dismiss this morning? All right, if not, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in word of prayer. I challenge you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be preaching on the why chapter in Job chapter 5, where Job asks the questions, why? And so very, very powerful sermon. Talks about the storms of life that we go through and some of the adversities that we might face in 2014. So please be here tonight at 6. Awana starts at 5:30. All right, let's be dismissed in word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Phil Philpott, if you would, Brother, dismiss us, please.